Okay, yeah, go ahead, have a seat, get comfortable, and as I said, welcome once again to Village Green Community Church. We are on into week 7 of our sermon series called Do Not, But Why Not. Hopefully you've been able to join us as we've worked our way through the 10 words of God from Exodus 20, the 10 commandments. Okay? Now imagine the Israelites have just left Egyptian slavery, right? They're being led to the promised land by Moses. And Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai and receives this word directly, these words directly from God, right? Of all scripture is inspired by God, but this scripture was penned by God, literally, right? Etched onto stone, given to Moses, brought down. And we've been talking our way through these Ten Commandments, because the reality is, even today, most people still know the Ten Commandments. They might not be able to tell you what all 10 are, but you talk about the Ten Commandments, they'll know what you're talking about. What is so important, what is so central to life as God has planned it for us, that He would share these 10 things with us? It's been quite a journey. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been challenged with it. And along the way, we've discovered something. We've discovered that in a most general sense, the Ten Commandments reveal to us God's heart for relationship. At the center of the gospel, at the center of the Ten Commandments, at the center of everything God wants for you in your life, it has to do with right relationships. A right relationship with God, that vertical relationship with us and God as our maker, and that horizontal relationship with others. Us and the rest of the people whom God has created. This is where we get to love God and love others from our mission statement, right? And we see this in the structure of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are all about how to love God, right? The following six, how to love others. Jesus even reinstated this in the New Testament, right? We've talked about this. One day the teacher of the law came up and said, Jesus, tell us what's the most important thing. Take all of the scriptures, everything, and condense it down to one commandment. And Jesus says, the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about relationship. God, others, and how we relate. Now, we've been working our way backwards through the commandments, right? We started at 10. We worked all the way up. Last week, we talked about the fifth commandment, which was honor your father and mother. And as the fifth commandment, it was the first commandment that kind of helped us establish a foundation for how we're right with others. And at the center of being right with others, this relationship with your mom and dad is important. God wrote a commandment about it. So I encourage you, if you missed last week or any of our other previous weeks, you can always go online, listen again, get caught up, okay? But fascinating study in these commandments that God has given to us. Well, today, we're actually into commandment number 4, which is, again, a transition, because this is the first, we're working backwards, but this is the first of 4 commandments we're going to talk about that help us develop a better, deeper, truer, stronger relationship with God. Okay? This has to do today, what we're going to talk about our relationship with God at its heart. Okay? We're going to talk about something that we all want more of in our lives, but even when we get it, we tend to misuse it. Okay? We're going to talk about rest. Okay? We're going to talk about rest. Do you get enough rest in your life? How do you define rest? Is it just evening time television? Is it lazy weekends? Is it a planned vacation away from work? Is it actual, get my head on that pillow and let me sleep? Or does rest go deeper than that as God intended? So we're going to look at this commandment together, all right? See if we can't find some insight into the kind of rest that God wants us to engage in. What does rest look like in God's economy, in God's command to rest? Okay, so if you have your Bibles or maybe a Bible app on your device, or you can follow along on the screen, we're in Exodus 20 and we're in verses 8 to 11. Okay, so let's read them and we'll get going, starting at verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Okay? There are two distinctive and unique things about this commandment that I want us to notice. First of all, notice that this is the longest of the Ten Commandments. We're going to talk about do not make for yourself an idol of any kind. That has a big chunk of scripture as well. So that one and this one are the two longest commandments given, okay? Most of the other commandments, right, they're so direct. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't murder, right? Honor your father and mother. There's a little bit of explanation given on that one, but this one kind of goes on in some detail. So what is it about the Sabbath day that is so important to God that he wants to spend a little bit of time talking about it and explaining it, not just give a command? Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word sabbat, which means to cease. So the Sabbath is a day of ceasing from work, okay? But these verses show that it's far more than just that. Let's look at some of the details from our observation of the passage, some things that pertain to the Sabbath. I'll just list them here, but I'll go through them quickly. First of all, the Sabbath is a holy day. This comes from verse 8, okay? Holy is a word that means special, set apart, different from other things, right? We just sang about holy, holy, holy. God is holy. He's not like us. He's set apart. He's different. Okay? And this holy day is to be set apart and different from other days. God says, make sure to remember the Sabbath and make it special. Make it different from your other days. You know when you get busy, we all get busy, right? If you're just flying by in your week, one day can kind of just melt into the next. And you can even lose, what day is this? Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? It's Thursday already? Oh man, right? But something about the Sabbath is supposed to be different and feel different than your other days, okay? The Sabbath, you should notice a difference. Kind of like, remember when you were a kid and you got a snow day from school? That felt different. I should be at school, but I'm not. I get a day off, right? Or a stat holiday. It's Monday. I should be at work. Now, normally I'm at work, but something's different. This is a special day. It's a stat day. Well, it's the same type of a thing. The Sabbath is a special day, a holy day, okay? It's also a day of rest, okay? God says you have 6 days for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day should be a day of rest, a day of stopping the routine, engaging in something different, okay? What should be different about that day? You should not do your ordinary work. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Like, way to go, God. Give us, you know, commanded. Take a day. Take a day. Especially for the Israelites. Think of this. They're just coming from hundreds of years of slavery. Slave labor in Egypt. Do you think they got days off? Do you think they got stats? Right? They were worked to the bone in slavery. And they're moving into the promised land, and God says, work, 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 work is not the way it should always be. You can't just go, go, go. You gotta take a break. I'm gonna command it. Take a break. Take a break. Okay? It's a day of rest. The Sabbath is dedicated to God. Okay, this is key, coming from verse 10, right? It's a day dedicated to God. God is at the center of it. Not your daily needs, not your daily routines, not the daily grind, okay? Not even your need for rest is at the center of the Sabbath. God is at the center of the Sabbath. It's dedicated to God. It's not just a day to slack off, do whatever you want. It's a day to devote yourself and dedicate yourself into building into your relationship with God. Remember how relationship is at the core of everything? The Sabbath is not pointless or purposeless. It does not promote laziness or slothfulness. It is dedicated to God, and the idea behind this is that the Israelites, as they move into the promised land, will not forget who God is and what God has done for them. They will stop and take a day each week and dedicate it to God. It's a continual reminder of all of who God is and all he has done, and that God is a part of our everyday life, certainly our every week life. Okay? The Sabbath is a day of equality. Did you catch this? I thought this was really cool. Okay? Everyone's commanded to observe the Sabbath. It isn't just for a few in the family, the higher ups, right? It's for everyone. You can't make your kids do all your work on the Sabbath. Okay? You can't have your servants do it for you. You can't just have the women or the foreigners serve. You can't pick and choose it. Even the livestock get the day off in this commandment. Okay? It's a day of rest to be for everyone. See, the Sabbath is a real gift from God. Its benefit is not just for the individual. It's not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of community, of relationship, of the whole. Regardless of your social status, your wealth, your gender, your age, or your nationality, everyone gets this day, God says. Everyone gets this day. It's a day of equality. We are all one in God's eyes. We are sons and daughters of God, no matter what. And the Sabbath is for you. It's for you to devote and dedicate yourself to rest in God. Okay? It's a day of equality. And lastly, the Sabbath is linked to creation. Verse 11, right? Did you catch that? God made everything in 6 days. He took the seventh day to rest, to reflect on what he had done, what he had made, to bless it. God himself observes the Sabbath, this idea of resting in the creation story. God doesn't rest because he needs rest, right? You realize that? God didn't take a break because he needs a break. God wasn't up there and he's like, wow, I got to take a day to just dab my brow before I get going again, right? God does not take rest because he needs rest. God rests because he knows and understands how central it is to relationship, to community, to life itself. Rest is that important. And this commandment is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Just like you shall not murder, and you shall not worship an idol. Equal to those two things is take a day to rest. It's that important. It's that important to God, okay? So this is a lot of detail given to this commandment, right? It indicates there's something about this holy day of rest that's dedicated to God and observed by everyone. God commands a day of rest. It's that important to our relationship with God and our relationship with others, okay? The other thing we need to know about this commandment is that it is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not reissued in the New Testament, okay? In fact, in the New Testament, we see Jesus himself get into trouble many times for breaking the Sabbath, right? So what's this all about, okay? Did Jesus really break the Sabbath? Is he really going against God's commands? One of the places in Scripture where Jesus talks a lot about the commandments of God is on the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Matthew chapter 5. I encourage you to take some time and look at that this week. We're going to just talk about it briefly here. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts off with the Beatitudes, right? Maybe you've heard of the Beatitudes before, where Jesus talks about what it looks like to have a right heart, a right attitude before God, okay? Those who God blesses. When you are poor in spirit and you realize your need for God, that's a good heart to have, okay? When you're in mourning, but you come to God to be comforted. When you are merciful in heart and not just full of anger and judgment towards other people. When you seek justice for those who are wronged. When you are humble. Jesus goes on in these Beatitudes about what it is like to have a right heart for God. What does a right heart look like before God? And as he continues, Jesus goes right from the Beatitudes, and then he goes into, when you have a heart like this, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, right? When you have the right heart in a right relationship with God, right attitude, you are the salt and light of the world. And then Jesus gets into this. Don't miss this, okay? Starting at verse 17. Jesus says, this is right after salt and light, okay? Jesus says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writing of the prophets, okay? I didn't come to break the Ten Commandments, okay? Okay? No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then, notice this in verse 20. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Follow me on this, okay? Jesus warns everybody that your heart, your righteousness, must be different from those of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, or you will never enter the kingdom. To have a right attitude with God and the right heart is following God's laws. You're the salt and light. But if you have the wrong attitude, if you have the wrong heart, you're doomed. You're in trouble, right? Okay, remember our theme verse, right? Romans 5. I'm bouncing around here, but I want you to get this. Romans 5, verse 20. Okay, this is our theme verse for all 10 weeks on the Ten Commandments, okay? Romans 5:20, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were, but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant, okay? The law was given so that we could see how much we need help. The law helps us have the right attitude before God, right? The law should drive us closer to God. It helps us realize we're poor in spirit. We need help. We need comfort. We need justice. We need mercy from God. We can't do it on our own. So Jesus continues in the Sermon on the Mount then, back to the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about some of the Ten Commandments, right? This is right after following. Your righteousness has to be better than that of the Pharisees. And Jesus gets to what the heart of the commandments are all about. Right? Jesus says, you've heard it said, do not murder. Sound familiar, right? But I say to you, you can't even speak an angry word towards someone or you're guilty, right? You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Again, sound familiar? But I say to you, even if you look lustfully at someone else, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You see, Jesus gets to the heart of the law, the fulfillment of the law, okay? So with this in mind, let's go to one other place in Scripture, Mark chapter 2, because we'll look at a specific instance here where Jesus gets confronted about his actions on the Sabbath. Is Jesus really breaking the Sabbath? Okay? So I'll read it for you here, and then we'll talk about the latter verses, starting at verse 27, but I'll start at 23. This is Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, haven't you even read in the Scriptures that what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then, verse 27, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. Okay? Even over the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. This is Jesus. You see, when the law becomes the end game, we've lost. But when a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others is the end game, then the law has served its purpose. Okay? The Sabbath isn't the point. God and our relationship to Him is the point. The Sabbath is given as a gift. It was never meant to be a burden, right? And here's what happened. Over the years, the teachers of the law took this Sabbath day, and they began to realize, well, we have to regulate what work is and what work isn't. And so they made all these extra laws and commandments to add to it that ended up just making the Sabbath so difficult. You couldn't take a certain number of steps in a day or you're working. You know, you can't harvest. That's where in Mark chapter 2, right? They're picking, they're just walking along, picking some, you know, wheat, sticking it in their mouth, chewing on it. It's not a harvest, but that was you're breaking the Sabbath. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. And the Pharisee said, whoa, you're breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus says, what? It's not about the Sabbath being a burden with all these other rules and regulations. It's not about people serving the Sabbath. It's about the Sabbath meeting the needs of people. That's really important. And this is what Jesus says. He defines this commandment to us in a new way, outside of the regulations and law that the Pharisees gave, not outside the parameters of what God gave, okay? You need to understand that. He redefines it, reorients it, but not different from what God gave, but different from what the Pharisees gave, okay? If the Sabbath command is a burden, then we're in trouble, okay? It should help meet our needs. The heart of God is that the Sabbath be a day of rest, a day to dedicate to God, to draw closer to Him. It was made to meet the needs of the people, not so that people had to live under guilt and weight of more rules and regulations. So here, a good question to ask is this: am I finding God in my rest, or am I finding my rest in God? Okay, says Yoda. It's a little, right? It's very Yoda-ish, right? Am I finding God in my rest, or am I finding my rest in God? Okay, both are good. Okay, we should, in your rest, you should find God. Okay. But the purpose of the Sabbath is to strengthen and deepen our relationship to God. And when we do that, we find our rest in God, not in the observance of the law. Do you get the subtle difference, right? It's not about waiting for my rest so that I can find God in my rest, although that's great. But it's about being able to find your rest in God, because then no matter what day it is, you have the rest of God in you. It's about investing in that relationship. Right? It's even far more than just once every 7 days. It's an everyday commandment. Okay? Now, it's probably important to say here that for the Jews, the Sabbath was literally the seventh day, Saturday. Okay? Now, for Christians, we've typically adopted Sunday as our Sabbath day. We meet together on Sunday for worship. It's a day of celebration. You know, it's part of the weekend. It's just part culturally we've adopted Sunday, the first day of the week, as our Sabbath. That comes from Easter, Christ raising to new life on the first day of the week on Sunday. So, you know, we kind of adopted Sunday. But the thing is that the Sabbath, it really doesn't matter which particular day, all right? There's passages in the scripture, Romans 14, if you want to look there, that says, you know, if you say one day is more important than the other and this day is more important, but in the end, everyone has to kind of stand before God, and it doesn't matter which day it is, because it's not about the law, it's about the relationship. It's about the relationship. So don't get so caught up in the rules and the regulations, get caught up in the relationship, okay? What's important about the Sabbath is that we take Sabbath rest, that our focus is not on the Sabbath itself, but on the God who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay? We're following this? All right. The Bible has a lot to say about the Sabbath, right? I just have a few moments this morning, so I'm excited for you as you engage with your life groups this week. There could be a lot of great discussion that comes out of talking about the Sabbath this week. I hope it's a good discussion for you. It encourages you and challenges you to dig deeper into this fourth commandment. But as we close, I want to touch on three quick things, key ingredients to the Sabbath that I pulled out of this that maybe it will be helpful to you as you say, okay, so what does this mean? I know I need to take it, but you know, rest, how can I do this? Okay, here's three keys to the Sabbath. First is rest, okay? Quite obvious, but literally the Sabbath should bring your body, your mind, and your spirit some element of rest. You need to start with this, okay? It might be the most obvious component of the Sabbath, but it might also be the most difficult, okay? We have so many things to do and only so many hours in the day or week in which to get them done, okay? We all struggle with just stopping, taking time, resting, okay? But finding rest on the Sabbath, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, is so important. It's a commandment of God, okay? When we don't get the rest we need, we either burn out or we dry up, right? We've all experienced this, okay? And you know what burns up and burns out and dries up first? When we get wearied and burdened with the busyness and the overwhelmingness of life and we fail to rest, it's our relationships, isn't it? Right? You felt it. If you're feeling really weary right now, if life is just really heavy on you, chances are you're probably struggling in your spiritual relationship with God. You're just so tired and exhausted and it's hard to connect, right? But chances are you're probably also struggling in your relationship with a spouse, other family, or friends. See, weariness leaves us burnt out or dried up, but rest allows us to enter into relationship. We need to find time to rest. God exemplifies the importance to us in creation, right? He tells the Israelites, you can't keep going in the promised land. That's not the life I have planned for you. It's not a life of slavery, okay? It's a land of promise. And part of that promise is rest and good relationship with me and with others. I realize this creates a lot of tension for you, because it does for me, okay? I don't know how you're going to be able to manage this in your life. I don't even know how I'm going to be able to manage it in mine, okay? But we must understand that this is really important. We've all been there. Some of you are there right now. You're weary, you're tired, and life is heavy, and your relationships are suffering. And that's not a good thing, because relationships are the heart of the gospel. Relationships are the heart of the Ten Commandments. Relationships are the heart of the Sabbath. Okay? How can we let this challenge us so that we can make rest happen? Second key ingredient is reflect. Okay? Most of the time when we're looking to find rest, we look ahead to anticipate it, right? TGIF, the weekend is coming. Okay? Our vacation is planned for next month. Oh, I can't wait. And then we can rest when that vacation comes. Okay? I can't wait that in a couple hours, the kids will all be in bed. And I can finish that cup of coffee I started at 5:30 this morning. Right? Right? We anticipate rest in the future, but a major component of rest is being able to reflect on what has been done, what has taken place, what we've experienced, right? God made in 6 days, and then he looked back and he blessed. He reflected on what he had done, what he had accomplished, what he had made, and he just reflected in it, okay? What difference would it make in our life, in your life, if you took time to stop and just look back over what God has done, what you've been able to do in a day, okay? Everyone has the to-do list, right? And it always seems to get longer, right? The list will always exist, okay? You can't wait to rest when that list is done. The list will always exist. But if you can learn to take the time to stop and reflect back on what has been done, what has been accomplished, instead of worry so much about what still needs to be done, you can enter into rest a bit more. Don't forget to reflect, okay? Reflect on God's work in your life, God's work in the world, okay? Take time to look back. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses records these Ten Commandments again. I don't know if you realize this. It's Deuteronomy 5. And as Moses records it in Deuteronomy 5, he adds a little addition to this commandment. And he says this. He says, this is why, oh, let me get back to my Ephesians 20. It says, Deuteronomy, aren't I? He says, it's all about going into the promised land. He says, God freed you, Deuteronomy 5, okay? He says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath, okay? Because a big part of it for Israelites back then heading into the promised land was you need to reflect and remember where you were and where God has brought you to. We need to do the same thing, right? Reflect on where we have been and where God has brought us to. Reflect on that. Okay? Lastly, this morning, reflect on God's faithfulness will lead us to remember and understand God's place and God's promise. This is more the future, what God has in store for us. Okay? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we need to stop all our work and be still. Stop all our efforting, our busyness, acknowledge that God is in control and that God can actually be trusted with the future. It'll be all right. You can stop and be still for a moment. In fact, you need to do that. It's not just a good idea. Okay? Sometimes we need to remember that there is a cost to our rest. Okay? Remember the livestock? We're told to take a break. Well, Israel was an agricultural society, right? If you take one day out of your week to stop productivity, to stop work, you're missing a day of productivity. You're missing a day of harvest. You're missing a day of labor that could get you further ahead. If other people don't take that break, you're going to get behind. Okay? Sure, there is a cost to our work. A cost to our rest from work, right? But what's more important? God says it's not your productivity. Leave some of that up to me. I'm capable. I can do it. It's not all up to you. You can trust me, okay? Sometimes it's good to just be still and rest and be with God. Remember Mary and Martha, right? The problem is not work. The problem is not being able to stop your work and rest, okay? Sometimes we need to be still and know that he is God and that he can be trusted and take time to invest in that relationship with him. There's a story from the Reformation, the Great Reformation of theology, where two theologians got together. One was Martin Luther, and the one came to Martin Luther one day and said, "Hey, this day you and I will discuss the governance of the universe." To which Martin Luther replied, "Well, this day you and I will actually go fishing and we will leave the governance of the universe to God." Right? Good words, restful words, right? It's not all up to us. God has things under control, okay? Sometimes we just need to stop all our efforting and simply rest and remember that God is the one who's in control and he can be trusted. So these Ten Commandments, they lead us into a deeper, truer relationship with God. We began the series looking at six commandments that solidify our relationship to others, how we relate to others, how to have that best way possible. We started a discussion today on our relationship with God. What does it take to have a growing, deepening, strengthening relationship with God? Learning to find our rest in him is really key to having a good relationship with God. Are you weary? Do these words sound familiar from Jesus? "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Let's do that. Let's go to God. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we admit that life can get busy, life can be overwhelming, life can seem like it's so much up to us. We have to accomplish this, that, and the other thing. We have to just keep going. But Lord God, when we fail to stop, when we fail to rest, when we fail to reflect and remember our relationship with you, we suffer. But when we remember to stop, when we remember to reflect and to rest and remember that you are God, you are in control, and our relationship with you is most important, then Lord God, we're on the right path to the life that you promised to us. We know this morning that the law was given, even this law of the Sabbath, to show us how much we need you. We can't find our rest apart from you. We can't command rest and something we do just in and of ourselves. We need to meet with you. And every time we fail, every time we falter, every time we're weary, when we turn to you, we find you to be faithful. We find your faithfulness to never end. We find your love to be unending. And we rejoice in that this morning and pray that you lead us into an ever-deepening relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.